Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Well, it sounds like it's not dead.
So I'm not hearing anything. That's the problem.
I see. Well, I can hear, at least. So there's that. We know that it's doing something, at least.
Oh, okay. There we go. I'm good now. All right. Can you hear?
Very good. Yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
It was fine.
Wow, we had some technical issues this morning.
Que lastima.
Que lastima. No, it's seriously, most of my Spanish that I know for my job, I have learned through, like, The Simpsons or other sources.
Bumblebee Man.
Mm. Sabro.
Sabro gigante.
Sabro gigante.
Nice. That's good. I used to watch Telemundo all the time.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in my early 20s living in my first apartment, and the only channel that I could get on my TV was Telemundo. That's where it was, man. Telemundo, I don't know if it's, like, national.
I forgot. Yeah, Telemundo's national.
It's Telemundo national. Yeah, because
yeah.
I didn't know if it was, like, a Chicago market thing or something.
No, Telemundo's, like, the big, like, Spanish language channel.
Yeah. And that was the only place. Like, that's where I'd watch all my movies, too. Like,
oh, nice.
They always had Lost Boys or Batman Returns on.
That's where I watched Dragon Ball Z, because they had the Spanish dub of Dragon Ball Z, which was completely uncensored.
Mexico loves Dragon Ball Z.
It's a way of life.
It is a way of life in Mexico.
And King of Fighters. Know, yeah. King of Fighters and Dragon Ball Z is like South America.
Who's the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu fighter in King of Fighters? No, wait, I'm thinking Tekken. Never mind.
Yes, that's Eddie.
Eddie, yes. Yeah. That's who I'm... Eddie Gordo.
Yeah, that's not Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's capoeira.
Whatever.
He does the dance fighting. Well, because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is like a lot of kicking, but it doesn't have the spinning around on the ground.
Yeah, it's all...
Like capoeira, like in Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Ha! Yeah, ha!
it's dance fighting.
It's dance fighting.
It's like West Side Story. I get it.
Yeah, just like that. We're gonna rumble with those greasy sharks. Not without 3 years jazz, tap, and ballet, we won't. When you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last day.
Three, four, five.
Musicals are the worst.
What are you talking about? I love musicals. It's an American art form, sir. It is an American art form.
That makes it even worse.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't even know where to go. I've had a rough week. A rough week in the new job. So I'm a little exhausted today.
A rough week in Joe world.
Yeah.
In the world of Joe.
Yeah. And I had to have, I just came here after an argument with my wife about, like, why my child, who we're talking about 2 years from now, not now, 2 years from now, she should be able to walk home from school by herself. And our school is a block from our house. And my wife's like, no one walks home anymore. I'm like, Diana, she will be old enough to walk home. When I was her age, I know, but it's different now. I'm like, seriously. And she goes, you know everything. I go, I work in schools. I've worked in schools in the last 15 years of my life. I could kind of say I'm an expert on some things academic. Of course, no one ever listens. My family doesn't listen to me on any of that. So it's all right. According to the new review we got on the iTunes page, I am a virtue signaler.
Ooh,
so that's
nice.
A new one, yeah.
Nice.
I didn't know that. And it actually specifically said, this is the second review that said this, so this is kind of weird. It said that Steve is okay, but Joe is a virtue signaling liberal.
Doesn't like you.
No, but what does it say about you?
You think it's the same guy?
I don't know. Probably not. But what does it say about you? He's like, Steve's all right. He's one of us. And Steve's like, wait a minute.
Hang on a second. Google gobble. What does it say here? Google gobble one of us.
We do kind of say that those alt-right Nazis are kind of like the geeks from Freaks, but those freaks, I'd rather hang out with them.
I'd rather hang out with the freaks.
They don't want to party. Took that guy and cut off. It took the woman, cut off her arms and legs. I'm all about that.
Good times.
That's a movie I should watch this Halloween. We are in the spooky.
Late great Johnny Eck is fantastic in that film.
Yeah. We are in the spooky season.
It's true. I just started. Oh my god! I'm speaking of spooky thing. I'm watching a movie on Shudder right now, and it's taken me multiple workout sessions to get through. It's called Hagaruza or something. I don't know how exactly to say. It's a German movie.
I was gonna say I had some Hagaruza the other day. It gave me quite the indigestion.
Might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
I don't know, man.
It might be the worst movie. It's definitely, so far, it's definitely the worst horror movie I've ever seen. But it might actually be the worst movie I've ever seen.
Is it as bad as a Lars von Trier movie?
Well, Lars von Trier movies, I can at least be like, when I'm watching them. Or like, but here's the thing about Lars von Trier movies. They're not good, but they're, okay. Without going too deep into this movie, things are happening on the screen. I don't know why. There doesn't appear to be a plot. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand at all what is happening.
Like Antichrist.
But Antichrist, it makes sense. Antichrist is like a fucked up ritual where like bad shit was happening. So like reality was warped. The basic outline of that movie is at least that. Like, what happens in the movie is completely fucking insane. Like, ridiculous. But the conceit of that film is at least like, okay, it's a fucking...
For the sake of this conversation, I will agree with you.
I'm just saying, like, it's a crazy ritual where bullshit's happening.
Yeah.
Like, it's tenuous, but it's at least there. This movie... I don't know why or what, period. Like, there's sequences where it's just like, it's not even like that's weird. It's just, it's literally like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Who are these characters? What is going on? there's nothing. It's really bad. And that wasn't it. Don't let me try and defend. Don't anyone take this as a defense of Antichrist. That movie's terrible, but
chaos reigns.
That movie is terrible, but I think this movie's worse.
All right,
because at least things happen on the screen in Antichrist. This movie has like solid like 20 minutes of like just like a single shot with no action on the screen.
I want to see Tim Burton's Antichrist. Bump, bump.
I think you already did. It's Night Before Christmas. Jack Skellington is the Antichrist.
Nice.
Duh.
Takes a pair of scissors and cuts off his weenie.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sometimes you just got to. Sometimes you got to chop off your dong.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
That's right.
All right. So let's, I want to get into gaming stuff. Because
you know, I'm something of a, I'm something of a castrato myself. I couldn't remember what they were called.
So the big news, and we missed it last week.
Beastgrave?
Yeah. We missed it by like 3 hours.
Yeah. It was pretty fast. No, it was. I think it was even tighter than 3 hours.
You
messaged me as soon as you got home. Yeah. You were like, "God damn it!" Like, that was like the text.
They did all the Beastgrave announcements. That was 2 weeks ago. So we've gotten a lot more information, which is kind of nice. So that way, I don't have to say like, "We don't know anything." They just announced that it's for pre-order now. And they put out all the information on Beastgrave. The new season of Warhammer Underworlds, and they kind of fixed a lot of the issues that Steve and myself had with the game.
Well, the biggest thing is they're doing rotation.
They're doing rotation.
And they're doing rotation in the not dumbest way possible.
So what they're doing is all the generic cards of Season 1 are no... Well, let's talk about it this way.
They're gone unless they're reprinted.
Okay, so I'll start off this way. There are now four types of ways to play Warhammer Underworlds. There's open play, where you could play with the whole collection. Doesn't matter.
No one will play that, but yes.
Yeah. So you could just... Well, actually, I bet you a lot of people will. So just basement gamers.
Okay. Tournament-wise.
Tournament-wise. No, no one will ever
have... We're talking in the ultimate competitive miniatures game, like it says in the box.
That's the ultimate competitive miniatures game. So this is just like straight up, everyone, all your cards from seasons 1 through 3, everything that's being released is gold. Championship... which is compete with the best. Build decks for competitive play. Some older or banned cards are not available.
That's the way everyone's going to play.
In this format. And this format has a list of restricted cards, which can only be used in limited numbers. Okay.
That will 100% be the way you play.
Alliance. Compete alongside your friends. Build decks for team-based competitive play. Some older or banned cards are no longer allowed. Are not available in this format. And each card can only be included once per team.
Shadespire absolutely would kick ass as a 2v2 versus game, because I played a few three-man free-for-alls.
Yeah.
And I think Shadespire, I think if I wanted to like seriously like push Shadespire as a competitive scene, like if I wanted to run like a tournament series, I would absolutely run it as a 2v2. I think the game, all of the balance issues kind of get like shuffled, even if you have no banned cards. As long as you don't have the ability to repeat cards between decks, so like you have one great strength per team.
Yeah.
You have one great concussion per team, not per deck. As long as you do that, whether or not you want to adhere to the ban list, whatever. The number one thing is no repeated cards between the players. I think that would be the best competitive way to play that game.
And then they have Relic. Play with cards from every season. Build decks for competitive Relic events. Some banned cards are not available in this format.
So that's Legacy. That's the only format that people might play with the older cards.
Yeah.
Because it's just like Magic, like having a somewhat curated ban list, but being able to use all of the cards in your collection, that's where you're going to see people wanting to play who've been in since the start.
So when we're talking about this game in the format of this podcast, we are going to be speaking of the championship mode of play.
Yeah, pretty much always.
Generally, that's what we're going to play. So what that means is that all generic cards from Season 1, and that includes not only the generic cards that came in the Shadespire box, all of the warbands, and that little deck, the heroes or whatever it was called.
Yes.
All of those
leaders.
Those are all no good anymore in championship.
The other thing, though, is if your card has a faction symbol on it, regardless of where it's from, still legal.
Yes.
So all in leaders, still legal.
All the Season 1 cards still, and all the Season 1 warbands still good for the game.
And their cards,
which is genius. It's the best way to play the game, I think, because you don't, there's no longer a scramble to get those older generics.
Yes.
Perfect idea for the game.
Yep.
The only thing that kind of sucks on this, and I was talking with some other people who play the game, is that the leader's deck is going to be MIA. So if you like somehow you pick up like, oh, I got this old Fire Slayer Warband, which are useless anyway, but I got this Fire Slayer Warband. Is there any other cards I can use for it? And like, if you don't have the leader's deck, you don't have access to those cards.
The one redeeming quality of that is that even though I did mention that you can use the Warband specific leader's cards, they're all terrible. The only good cards in leaders were, there were three generic cards that were good.
Yeah.
So those are all rotating. Yeah. All of the relevant cards, like if you don't have leaders, don't be like, oh no. Like if you can't find it, in all honesty, like it's not even remotely close to relevant. Like it's the Warband cards in there are pretty fucking awful.
Yeah.
But there are some good cards in leaders, but all of them are generic.
Yeah. So starting right off the bat, Season 3 of Warbands, and if they keep it the Warhammer Underworlds, and if they keep it this way, every year, if you want to remain competitive in the game, it's going to cost you about $220 to $250, depending upon the discount that you get.
And I assume each base game will rotate the previous one out. So
yeah,
that would mean that Beast Grave is rotating out set one, and then the next set.
Set four is going to rotate out Night Vault.
Right, right.
Working on my Night Vault.
Working on them ghosties and those curse breakers.
Yeah. And here's the other. Okay. So Beast Grave got announced. Big changes from Season 1 and 2. Now deployment, when you're putting out your boards, you don't just put out objectives. You also put out traps.
Yeah, lethal hexes.
So lethal hexes go out with the game.
So you can start doing some serious, like you can actually have some serious, it really improves the value of knockback. So,
and it also, in that value of knockback, they've also added that if you go on guard with your figures, you cannot be knocked back.
Oh, that's huge.
That's huge.
That's very big. That's very, very big.
Yeah, it makes going on, makes the card that lets you put go on guard very good.
Yeah, makes it much better.
Not for me. I play Ghost, so it doesn't matter if I go through a lethal hex or not.
Yeah,
Ghost.
Yeah, right now it seems like the best things. It's like Cursebreakers, Ghosts, and Molags are the top boys.
Yeah.
But all of them require rolling dice, so I wouldn't play any of them.
So that's one of the big deployment things.
There's a Nurgle Warband coming.
Yes.
So I'm buying the absolute fuck out of that because it's got a wizard in it, which hopefully means that he will have a very good spell for Age of Sigmar.
You have a wizard, Harry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Nurgle casters are a bit underwhelming for Age of Sigmar, so hopefully this Warband has a good custom spell.
So one of the other big complaints that we had about about the Warhammer Underworlds game beforehand was that the decks you get, the specific Warband faction decks, have always been generally pretty bad.
They're ass.
And the generic cards have always been better. So
yeah, the only Warbands that were reasonable, that are reasonable, are the ones from the big box starter, the Banshees and the
Cursebreakers.
No, not the Cursebreakers. What are they called? The Shield and
yeah, whatever.
Flail
the
people.
Yeah.
The three ladies. I don't remember what the fuck they're called, but the Judicators? No, what's the unit called?
Well, it was one lady in there, but yeah, it was the Stormcast guys.
Yes, yeah, whatever the special unit is, the new unit that launched with the ghosts.
Those were the Cursebreakers.
No, the Cursebreakers are the old men. Those are the casters.
Yeah.
Because there's two ghosts. Because there's banshees. There's the four banshees.
Oh, you're talking the Myrmidon ones.
Yes, the Myrmidon.
Oh, the ones from Dreadfang.
Right. Yes, yes. So those two decks, those are good. Like, those are actually, like, pretty good decks. Sole exception to my saying that all of the Warband built-in decks suck.
Yeah, I mean, I would not say that they all suck. Some of the Season 2 ones were actually pretty decent. Not great, but pretty decent. I think it was because Season 1 of Shadespire had some cards in there that were really, really, the generics were just so much better.
It's true. All the banned cards are from Season 1.
Yeah. And so the Season 2 cards, I think, toned down a little bit, making the decks a little bit more worth taking, except for you still have the Season 1 cards attached to it.
Yeah.
So except
Extreme Flank. That's from Season 2, and that's definitely super banned. That card is bonkers.
So anyway, they have the two new warbands that are coming out in this. You have the Wood Elves and you have Beastmen. Really cool ones. Their decks, both of them, are really good.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. That's another big design change, which I really liked. They're from going forward, there are now enough warband specific cards to play a full warband deck for all of the new factions.
Close, but it's
good.
No.
Every warband is being released. You do not need to use a single generic. There's enough to fill. Because in the originals, you had to use generics.
Yes. But what I'm saying is that all the cards are spoiled and it's close. They only have 10 objective cards and you could put 12 in a deck.
There's supposed to be 12.
I only counted 10 per in the spoiled cards. Mm. Unless there's two that are hidden that we haven't seen yet.
There's supposed to be 12. Well, because they said in the designer diary that they made it that way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So the but anyway, they have that now. And the decks are really good. Just like in Dreadfane where you had the two. That both decks were pure warband specific. There were no generics
functionally
in it.
Like they did what the warband was supposed to do by itself.
Yes, and it's designed around the playstyle that they think you should be playing this deck with. So the Beastmen is very kill heavy. However, there's a mechanic with the wizard for the Beastmen. So if every time an enemy unit is killed, regardless if you kill them or they kill themselves through like a martyr action
when they
or
die.
Something, mm-hmm. when they die, you get a token. That token allows you a reroll. And you could play it on any guy, which is great, right? You could use it on any combat roll. You could get a reroll. Except it says on the card specifically, before you roll, say you're going to use your reroll, which is a fucking stupid herder gamer.
That's lame.
Game designer action. Like, guess what, guys? You got to choose beforehand, so just make sure you're using it right. And I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you, game designer.
That's terrible.
It's so stupid, and especially because
there's that has to be an accident.
No, I don't.
That's not how rerolls work. You can't reroll if you haven't seen your roll.
Well, and that's exactly it. Well, make sure you're using it properly.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Well, exactly. And so what's bullshit about it is you know that the designer was like, haha, wink wink, like, I gotta make sure you're using this correctly. No, it's like, no, fuck you, because you know that there's gonna be a warband that comes out later that's gonna have that exact same mechanic where you get a token for something that you could use in a reroll, and it's gonna be like, it's not gonna say before, it's gonna say like,
but I mean, before doesn't make any sense, because that means that, like, so if I use it and I roll and I succeed, does that mean I have to reroll because I declared it beforehand? That's got to be just written incorrectly.
I would agree, Steve. I would agree 100%, but I know that they put that there on purpose.
Because that completely narrows its function down to specifically fishing for criticals if you have something that triggers off of critical rolls. Because the only time you would ever use that is if you had something that's like, there's like a, just an example, one of the banshees has, when she rolls a critical on defense, she does a damage.
Yeah.
So like,
well, you can't roll it on defense. You can only roll it during
the
attack.
But what I mean, like that type of ability is the only time that will come up. So if you had a unit that was like, when it rolls a critical on attack, like one of the upgrades or whatever, it's critical on attack, it does that extra damage. You would be like, I'm going to use this reroll because you're just hunting to see if you roll criticals.
Yeah.
So if that's the intention, okay, but that's still a terrible...
It's a terrible mechanic.
Yeah, there's no way that that's...
Terrible
there's
mechanic.
No way that that's supposed to be that way.
No, I bet you it is, because I guarantee you Games Workshop, thinking that they were fucking being all fucking like, Guess what?
There's no logical way, like that. There's no way that has any bearing on anything because it's not a skill tester. It doesn't make any sense.
I know it doesn't make any sense, but they were thinking it as in you have to be sure that you want to use this before you roll.
Me, no Game Workshop, and me say that was them just being dumb and like typing it wrong, and they're gonna be like, yeah, we didn't mean to do it like that.
Yeah.
Every time there's been something that's been that blatantly like, I don't think that they meant to do it that way. They've always errated it, and they're like,
"Yeah, I think they meant to do it that way." And I literally think that the reason why they did that, and I've said this a couple times now, the reason why they did this is because they wanted to be all sneaky and be like, or like all sly and say like, "Well, you better make sure you're using that reroll correctly before you roll. Make sure it's worth using."
And you couldn't know if it's worth using
exactly.
If you haven't seen your
roll.
Well,
no, that's what I'm saying.
So that can't be the design intention because
you have no idea.
No,
that's the design intention because they want to make sure that you're using it like you're saying, like, I really need to win this combat, so I'm going to use it right now. So just to make sure. And it's like, no, that's not the way that we use rerolls. Rerolls should always be after your roll if you're like, fuck, we're using a reroll.
Yeah, that's how every reroll in every game has been designed.
Well, there's also a card in the... in the objective deck that if you get like if you have like two or three of those tokens that you haven't used, you can score an objective.
Okay, so then you just don't use it. And
yeah,
just
you just don't
bank
use
the
it
tokens.
You bank your tokens and you get the objective.
Okay, like I mean, if that's the case, sure, that's fine. Then it's just another way to score glory. Okay,
yeah.
Like they wrote a rule that was like dumb. You never want to spend your cards, but hey, you have an objective to get off of it, so that's what you'll use.
So yeah, the Beastmen are very killy. The Wood Elves are more about like charging in, but not killing. So like you want to get into combat and knock people. Like there's a lot of knockback in the elf deck. So it's basically around putting out traps and knocking people into traps. Like you're not necessarily going to kill anybody with the wood elf deck. You can. They can be killy, but it's more about like running up, hitting them, knocking them back, putting them into a trap and killing them. That's pretty much how the wood elf deck is designed to work. They inspire over charging in. So if you charge, you inspire.
Oh, there was another big rules change too. They changed for multi-part actions.
Oh yeah,
you inspire at the end of an action.
Yeah, that's from Dreadfane.
That's a huge nerf to the Briar Queen, because the Briar Queen has the ability of not the Briar Queen, the Banshees from Dreadfang. Yeah.
Well,
because they inspire when they're next to a unit.
Yeah.
So in the previous rules, you would charge, inspire when they move through an enemy model. So in the previous rules, you would charge moving through the charge target, inspire and chop. Now you have to charge, do your chop, then you inspire.
So the Myrmidons, the Banshees, the Myrmidian, whatever they're called, the Banshees, in the actual Dreadfane rules, the new way of doing it is described.
Mm-hmm.
In the Night Vault rules, it's the old way. So for a lot of tournaments, that tournaments in between when Dreadfane and Beastgrave were released, they were using the Night Vault rules.
Very good.
So that's why people were like, wow, this is just utterly ridiculous.
It's super good.
Yeah, it's super good. But actually in Dreadfane, though, if you use those rules, and also Dreadfane gave you 2 glory per kill, which we were wondering if they were going to put that in Beastgrave, which they did not put in Beastgrave.
That would be way too strong.
That'd be... Killy warbands would just become too powerful then.
Well, no, and big number warbands would be like skeletons don't need another nerf. They're already really bad.
They're already really bad. Well, that's why they're not really used in season 2 and 3.
Yeah, the skeletons are the biggest problem with that. All you need to do is you need to change their really crappy model, the penitent or whatever they are. Just they shouldn't give glory when they die.
Well, it's also the yeah, that's true. That would be really good. Well, it's also
I don't even think it would make them good, but it would make them playable.
Yeah. Well, that's also my thing about the Fire Slayers is that I said the one rule that the Fire Slayers should have that they don't have is immovable. So, like, no matter what, they're never knocked back. They're never pushed back. You can't use any card to move them. They move when they want to move. And that's basically the rule. So, I mean, if they have that way, guess what? They're an instantly awesome warband. Like, oh, you play Earthquake. Guess what? My guys aren't moving because they're immune to movement and to being they're immune to being moved. And if they just did that, guess what? That warband is fucking awesome.
I mean, they're still fine. You have to just play a shit ton of movement cards. Like I tried to make them as competitive as possible, and like they're good. But the problem is they can never get past the fact that they're slow.
Yeah.
Like I had a warband setup where like. I would be inspired constantly, and there was nothing my opponent could do about it because, like, they'd play Earthquake, and I'd be like, all right, I play my own Earthquake back. I slide my guys back onto the objectives, and all my guys inspire. But they can't get over the fact that they're slow, so on a long board, you're getting maybe one charge in the game because they can just move backwards because your models are just slow.
Yeah. Speaking of slow, this Beast Grace seems to be made designed around movement. So the new war bands that are coming out, you have, as I already said, you have the Beastmen and the Wood Elves. You're going to have the other one that was previewed is Goblin Wolf Riders, which look great. There's three of them. People are kind of wondering, they're like, maybe there's three that are on foot that are going to be, they're saving for that. I'm like, they're not saving shit.
No, that's the Warband. It's three mounted models.
Games Workshop doesn't do that where they like, surprise. It's like, no, they don't do that.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It's like,
if you think about it, like, the classic rule of thought is mounted models count as two. That means that as a six model Warband.
Yeah. And they will get two attacks per.
Yeah. And have extra wounds.
They'll probably have extra wounds. We were kind of like figuring out how they would move, because if there was some thinking that they would be beef, or they in some ways they could be beefier than Stormcast. I'm like, no, it's a three man warband. They will not be beefier.
They're going to move six. They're going to be moderately less fragile than the goblins are now.
Yeah,
and they're going to be very fast.
Yeah,
that's it. They're going to be a glass cannon army by. Way that they'll be tough. They're goblins.
Yeah.
They're fucking goblins. They're not going to be tough. They're going to be fast.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be tough.
Yeah. But that's it. You're only going to see the three. There's no goblins on foot.
No. No question.
So that's the other one. They showed a picture of the cover of the Flesh Eater Quartz Warband, which looks pretty cool.
Yeah. There's the Flesh Eater Quartz. There's the Nurgle Warband.
My favorite thing is that in the Flesh Eater Quartz one, there's a woman ghoul on the cover. And people are like, oh, she's an elf because she has pointed ears. And I'm like,
the Flesh Eater Quartz all have pointed ears.
And I'm like, you guys are fucking stupid. Fucking stupid. Stupid fucking
Flesh Eater Quartz model?
Yeah. I hate when people
have bad ears.
Yeah,
they're long ears. And pointy because they're big bats. Yeah.
Sorry, Dwayne. Dwayne was one of them who's like that. Like, oh, and I'm like, no, they all. And he's like, oh my god, they do have all pointed ears.
That's good times. I don't know. I hate workshop speculation.
It drives me up.
It's always just like
because it's everything. This goes back to like the Marvel movies. Like when people are speculating about Marvel movies and they're like coming up with these grand fucking ideas. I'm like, no, they're designed around the stupidest. So the stupidest people on the planet could understand the plot points, right?
I mean, they're riffing them off of pre-existing storylines.
They don't even do that because they have to make them stupider for that. Like Infinity.
Thanos rides around in the comics with a helicopter that says Thanos on it. I don't know if you can get dumber than that.
That's 1980s Jim Starlin Thanos. So
I love that Thanos.
I know, but I'm not saying they would do that in movies.
Deadpool, it's me, Thanos.
No. So like in the Endgame, when he's like, how are they going to do the time? And like, how are they going to do this? This. I'm like, they literally in the movie were like, we're going to travel back in time and it's not going to affect anything in the future. So it's literally the dumbest version of time travel known to mankind and known to any sort of writing. It's like that dumb version. They're like, if we make it too complicated, people will just be like, I don't understand this time travel.
They are comic book movies.
I know.
A huge portion of their target market is children.
And adult children.
Yes, but also literal children.
Well, and it's like
children and literal children.
I used to get really mad about that until I met my wife, who we watched Back to the Future, and she did not understand how any of it worked. Back to the Future, seriously, there are people who just don't get how that time travel works.
Because they didn't watch enough Star Trek when they were growing up.
Yeah, I think that might be a reason as well.
It's straight up. No, it's guaranteed. The people, all of the time travel rules, if you just watched Star Trek growing up, you know all the possibilities of time travel rules. Because Star Trek has had every version of time travel in it.
Yeah. I still like the Star Trek 4 version of time travel.
Which one?
Voyage Home.
Okay, Voyage Home. Very good.
Yeah. Where they go back to 1980s.
Yeah, the 80s, right.
Yeah. Well, what does he say? Double dumbass to you. But yeah, that's the time travel I like the best, where it's like, he's like, I'm going to pawn these glasses. He gets the money for the glasses, and he's like, but those were a gift. He's like, and they will be again. That's the brilliance of it.
Yep.
Because he understands that the glasses will travel and go all the way to the future, and he will get them as a gift.
Yes.
It's brilliant. Anyway, actually, Back to the Future is the best
Marty, you gotta come with me. Your daughter marries a black man.
We're okay with that, Doc.
Did you know peanut butter was invented by a black man? It's too late for that, Doc.
Then you have a Nurgle Warband, which is coming. No one knows anything about them yet. Probably some people were saying it might be a two-man warband or a one-man warband.
I think that they went, judging by the cards that are spoiled, there's been a wizard and there's been a big fatty revealed. So my guess is if it's not a two-man warband, it would probably be
a three.
Three. It'd be two Blight Kings and a sorcerer, or a Blight King, a sorcerer, and like a Nurgling stand.
Thinking it could be... my ideal situation is, because I think that they only want to do three-man war... Stormcast bands. So you have the big...
Well, no, because they got the goblins are three. The Wolf Riders
are three. Wolf Riders, yeah. But the... So I'm thinking that this might be... But I'm saying like three individual models. Like, would three Chaos Warriors, Blight Kings...
I think a Blight King, a Wizard, and a Nurgling Swarm would be...
Yeah,
a
Nurgling Swarm or a Plague Bear. Yeah.
A Sloppity Bile Piper. Mr. Sloppity.
So that would be the on that end. And you also have the there's going to be an ogre. We don't know anything about the ogre. I'm assuming it's going to be a hunter with probably two saber cats.
Yeah,
probably
it's going to be. Or it'll be like it could also be a bunch of Noblars and like a man eater.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of assuming a hunter, because the whole thing is that there's a hunter keyword. So right. Certain.
Makes sense.
Things are...
Noblar Trappers. The triumphant return of the Noblar Trapper.
Oh, I love Noblars. I always thought the Noblars were awesome designs.
They were great.
That they just kind of did nothing with.
I don't know. The ogres had a lot of issues. The ogre kingdoms have had a lot of issues over time. Yeah. They're the warband I'm most, or they're the army I'm most excited about for Age of Sigmar to have the Redux, because I have a feeling that the Maw Tribes book is going to be... old ogres, obviously, and then the hunter ogres, and then I think that there's going to be some sort of infantry. Cool, because the problem with the ogres is that, like, mechanically wise, they just don't have enough models to play the game, which is why the hunter ogres are the worst army in the game.
Because the beast claw raiders,
which is why they're the worst army in the game, because they literally can't play it, because every single scenario they automatically lose. They can't win. So, that being the case, the only way they can fix that is to give them more models. So that either means they're going to roll like the Wolf Rider goblins into the Ogre Kingdoms.
That'd be cool.
Well, they have the Mongol aesthetic. Yeah. So like, I don't know, maybe. But like, they need troops. So I'm thinking either there's going to be a bunch of Noblar, or they're going to do goblins, something. Because that's the only way that army can be. And not even like, I'm not even talking about trying to make them competitive. I'm talking about like, play the fucking game.
Well, that's how old school I am. When I first saw the Goblin Wolf Riders for Underworlds, I was like, Hobgoblin Wolf Riders. I was like, wait a second, those are just regular goblins.
Those are just regular goblins.
I got really excited about Hobgoblin
Sneaky
Wolf
Gits.
Yeah. Oh my god, I would love Sneaky Gits.
Sneaky Gits, they could actually do some pretty interesting stuff with Sneaky Gits and Age of Sigmar. I'd be interested to see like a cool like move, like the like move unit. So Sneaky Gits could have a special rule where they ignore the coherency rule in combat to represent the old like lap round ability.
Yeah.
And what you could do is you can pull any unengaged Sneaky Git, like at the end of a combat round, you pull unengaged Sneaky Gits and put them on the other side of your like surround
them. Yeah.
That would be cool. They could do some cool stuff with that.
Yeah. I like how the Beast Claw Raiders are really popular amongst leftist Sigmar players. One of the meme sites I follow is called Sigmarxism. They're like really super popular amongst the Sigmarxists.
Well, they cost you the least amount of Das Kapital, so
das
maybe
Kapital.
Maybe that's why. Well, they were busted like when they first came, like when they first launched, when the game was still in its infancy, they were broken.
Yeah.
They were absolutely busted. But they went from being like the absolute like stone most busted army to being literally unplayable.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like.
Then the other they have two more warbands. They have the Daughters of Cain. So you're going to get some witch elves. You're going to have a witch elf warband.
Might be a snake rider or because the hunter and because everything seems to have some sort of like fast thing.
Yeah.
So
they're gonna. You're probably gonna have like a two witch elves, maybe one of those snake body girls,
or a warlock,
something
on the horsey.
And so something or other on there. So you'll have that one.
Oh, could it be the Heart Renders, the gargoyle chicks?
Yeah. And then you're also going to have another Iron Jaws warband. But it looks like it might be mixed green skin. Like there might, that's where the goblin on feet might be, is inside that one. So you might have a
pig rider.
something or other. I don't know. But that's the warband that's been kind of like spoiled through the card art. And people are like, why are you spoiling it through the card art?
Because they've always, like, that's the thing that annoys me is like, there's no such thing as spoiling what warbands are coming, because every one of the core books,
yeah,
like the rule book that you get in the base set, says every warband in the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you knew every warband that was coming in season one. At the last part of the rulebook, it's like, these are the warbands, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, you could see all of them.
Well, and even then, it's like, for example, season two, they spoiled all of the art for all of the warbands. We didn't know anything about what the Dark Oath looked like. They look like Shreks on the art. It's like, get out of me, swamp.
They all look like my swamp.
They all look like Shreks, and they turned out to be like super sweet 80s He-Man warriors.
True.
And then Malag, everyone was like, what the fuck is this? It's just troll. It's one troll? What's going on there? And then we got it, and we're like, what the fuck is this? It's just one troll. It's like a pile of troll poo. Animated troll poo.
Mushroomy troll poo.
Yeah, it was cool. But, I mean, you're always surprised when you actually see the warband and how they play. It's not necessarily like, oh, I know that there's a Nurgle warband. I'm not playing this game anymore. It's spoiled for me.
Yeah, because you never know what the warbands are going to do either. Because, yeah, like, the Tzeentch warband, people are like, I don't know, it's a Tzeentch warband. What the fuck is it going to do? And then, like, it comes out and it has all this, like all this zany stuff. And you're like, wow, the warband might be really strong. It's not.
Nah. I think they're one of
It does a lot of things, but none of them are good.
Yeah, it was one of the weaker ones of season two.
Yeah, well, it's because it has no direction. So it does, like, you have a whole bunch of models that do a bunch of random shit, but none of them are good.
No, I mean, season two, I've played most of the warbands. Not played as them, but played against most of them. I mostly ran the Briar Queen. Because I'm very much like, I'm just going to pick one. I'll collect the other warbands and maybe might play if I find one that's really interesting in playstyle that appeals to me. Yeah,
I just switched to whatever was the best at the time.
Yes, of course you did.
So now, I think right now I'd probably be playing Briar Queen, because I think they're the one that would need to roll the least amount of dice to win.
Yeah, I mean,
Because I would play tiles and I would just just move four models, tile, and movement ploys.
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot of movement ploys. I did a lot of, like, just flying around the board. Briar Queen I use as kind of my gestalt warrior, loaded her up with shit, and then would throw her where I need to throw her to kill something or other, to gain either a quick glory or to deny objectives.
Or, you know, I'm actually, no, the Science Dwarves. I think I'd play the Science Dwarves because they're very good. They're very strong right now.
Really?
I'd probably play the Science Dwarves. Yeah, because they have because their inspire mechanic is it's when you score an objective, if your leader is alive, you pick any model in your warband and inspire it. So you play them with all of the score immediately's,
yeah,
like the real easy to do score immediately's, because one of their custom score immediately's is when you miss with a ranged attack, you score it. So, like, you could just be like, I shoot with my machine gun. Oh, I missed. I score a glory and I inspire this model. they have some very, and they have where your leader's inspired.
Yeah.
So you'd just be like, I inspire my leader. And be like, oh, and I score a glory for that. I inspire this guy. So yeah, they're very strong. So I'd probably play them as well. Because a lot of the score immediately's you can do off of, like, move six spaces. Anything that doesn't require rolling dice is the most powerful. So that's probably what I would go with, and I'd probably play them.
Yeah, they're decent. I mean, they're not like everything in season two is pretty decent, with the exception of the Eyes of the Nine. I've played against most of them. And everything is pretty decent, though. The trees are decent. The Xarbags is decent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Malag is good, as we've seen.
Yeah, Malag's very good. I think that sounds right. Because, like, I knew that the Tzeentch was really bad, but everything else seemed fine. Oh, I don't know about Dark Oath.
The Dark Oath are not great. They're like a lesser version of.
They're real okay.
they're like a lesser version of the Reavers or the Magors.
Yeah, so they're real okay. Well, Reavers still remain one of the best warbands in the game if you're lucky as fuck.
Yeah,
because that's every time you see, like, the random Reavers, like, in Grand Finals, you look at his, like, record, and it's just like, how did you beat these armies? It's like, yeah, he just rolled crits left and right, and it's like, ah, okay. Because I was watching, because in the first Grand Clash, the big one. I played Reavers and I did okay. But there was a Reavers in Grand Finals, unpainted, mind you, which is fantastic. He made Finals of Adepticon with unpainted Reavers. And I was like, what was his list? Because I was looking at his, I was watching him play a little bit, and I'm like, his cards seem terrible. I'm like, how is this guy's deck good? Because I'm like, because I mean, I painstakingly went through my deck and like made sure everything was optimal. And then I was talking to some of the people who played, and they were just like, oh yeah, he's just rolling like fucking God. And I was like, oh, okay. This all makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, it's like, yeah, when turns out when you charge with Sake first turn and kill whatever you charge every game, you do pretty well.
There you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Roll good.
Roll good. That should just be a lesson
the,
for
that's
most
the strat.
Games.
Roll
yeah.
good.
Yeah. So I mean, they have all the stuff that's coming out is it looks pretty decent. I'm excited about it. I'm very excited about the season because if the Warband decks are all pretty optimal for the Warband, you don't have to replace too many generics into it, you're pretty good. Because, I mean, like, right now, looking at the Beastmen, for example, because that's the one I kind of, like, really focused on with, like, building a deck around, I looked at all of their cards, right? And I couldn't see subbing out any of the cards for generics with, unless it was, like, just a couple, like, if I wanted to tweak play.
Well, from what I saw, it looks like the generics in Beastgrave are all just reprints of, like, the core generics.
Pretty much.
So it's
even the generics from Season 2 is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, most of the generics from the biggest thing with the generics from Season 2 is so many of those are based around casting. So if you're not playing, like, a heavy casting deck.
Yeah. And that's the one problem with the Beastmen is that their caster kind of sucks. So... whatever.
Like a Beastman caster.
He's a Beastman shaman. He kind of sucks, and like some of his stuff is, but his spells are decent. But then there's a couple upgrades though that generic wise that do beef up your caster. So if you want to go more heavy with your caster, you can do that. It's just kind of like meh. There's one Ungor that literally his special ability is that if there's an unoccupied hex on the other end of the board on any board side,
he hidden paths.
Yeah, he's automatically. Really good. He's fucking awesome, but he's not broken because it's like I shoot an arrow and it does one damage if it hits.
But his movement is very good.
His movement's fucking amazing.
Yeah, which is good.
So I'm excited for this season very much so. And oh, some of the objectives, they changed the objectives from now that there's two types of objectives. There's end of round objectives and there's surge objectives. So surge objectives score immediates. So they just
added a keyword.
They added a keyword. It's a surge one. And then there's either ors or a double objective. So you have to, some of them are like you can do this or this and score this objective.
Oh, modal ones. That's really good. Modal cards are almost always better than regular cards.
And then there's also like you have to do this and this to score. So it just adds different layers to play on there. I think the game's getting more complex. And in the depth of the game, it's becoming better game. With the extra, I'm not 100% sold on the trap tiles. I think it's okay.
I think having that kind of thing is pretty good because it gives you one of the things that was so I abused the shit out of it when I started was the first thing with lethal hexes. You could build like a real competent strategy off of like taking a board with lethal hexes and be like, I'm just gonna do this shit. And now being able to reinforce a strategy like that, I think is really good. Also, it's uncounterable damage, which is, I think, important in that game because there's a lot of Voltroning and a lot of like you can make some pretty ridiculous defensive models where it's just like, I'm rolling fucking five defense dice with rerolls. Like, so being able to like push that guy through like three lethal hexes, be like, I'm gonna push, and he's dead. Like that kind of thing, I think, is important.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I think that there's a lot more room for casual play now as opposed to strictly competitive play.
It's just the ultimate competitive miniatures game.
I know
on the box.
That's how you feel about it, but I'm just saying that there's a lot more room for me rolling up to, having someone come over and be like, hey, you want to play this game? And them going like, I don't know, and you just pulling out a deck and saying, we're playing with these decks. Instead of being like, I have to get this card and this card, go through your entire card binder or your card box to find the cards to put into the deck. It's much easier just to be like, here's your deck.
Yeah, I tried to, when I first tried to get some people into Shadespire, I was like, I just grabbed a couple random decks and just like threw it together. And like somehow every time I played against someone when I was trying to teach them the game, their roles were like my normal roles. Like I was playing, like, he's like, I want to try the dwarves. And I was like, okay, sure. Here's the dwarf deck. And I grabbed like the basic starting fucking Khorne deck. Like, so it was just not good. And I'm just like, all right, I just move models, like, not charge. I just, like, I'm going to move this guy. And he's like, oh, cool, I'm going to charge. And his dwarf just whiffs. And he's like, whiff, whiff, whiff. And he's like, cool game. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, it happens.
And that happened every time I tried to teach someone the game. Like, I was like, yeah, get excited. It's cool. It's fun. And, like, every time they're just like, cool game.
Yeah, it's a strategy deck game. You know, it's like, I think having the pre-built decks that are designed around the warband are fairly interesting. So that way you could have something like, I feel like the Beastman is, Steve's headphones just fell off.
My headphones.
I think the Beastman deck is a Beastman warband is a great starter warband. It's very chop heavy. So most people who play the game are like, how do I run up and hit people? Not like, how do I score objectives to make sure that I'm getting the best?
Yeah. Optimal, well, I mean, people still play, even if they've been playing for a long time, yeah. They still want to know how they run up and hit people.
Yeah. So it's
I've won a lot of tournaments telling you, going up against people whose strategy is to run up and hit me, and I just didn't let them, so I won.
So yeah, that's I think that works really well with this game, and I think the objectives are all kind of like, hit this person and get an objective. Okay. Ding. So anyway, that was the big news, and that's what I'm really excited about right now. I'm gonna be I gotta go up to my local friendly gaming store and pre-order, because I think you get special hologram cards if you pre-order. Not that I need the special hologram cards. I'm just
kind of
need, like,
the hologram cards.
I don't really need the hologram cards.
Oh, you need them.
I'm beyond that at this point.
Don't try it. Don't lie to my face. You need the hologram cards.
I was going through all of my my Warhammer stuff, because I've set up my Warhammer rulebook nook, mm-hmm. that has all of my rulebooks. The book nook for all of my, you know, the editions of Warhammer, mm-hmm. Fantasy are all up there. So I have 1 through 8 up there. And I had all my season 7 paraphernalia that they released for 7th and 8th.
That was the one where they released, like, all, like, the big plastic compass and all that shit.
Season 8. Okay. I have season 8. 8th edition, okay. Not 7th edition. So I have all my 8th edition shit. I have so much fucking nonsense.
Just gubbins.
Gubbins. Like, fucking compass and the fucking flame template.
The turn tracker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have all these little objective. I have this little objective tin. I have all the cards, the magic cards and everything like that. I'm like, I barely even played 8th edition and I have all this shit.
I didn't play 8th edition, so.
Yeah. Good. I mean, if I even see it in the store, though, I'm still going to buy it.
Well, like, yeah.
If
I've been missing it. I know.
Because it's kind of cool. It's cool. Like, gubbins are cool. I like having little accessories. It's the one thing that saved me from Underworlds is the fact that I don't buy the deck protectors for all the decks.
And all the dice.
And all the dice and everything like that. I just don't buy that because I don't need it for whatever reason. I might do that with the starters this time because I like both the Beastmen and the Wood Elves. So I might play both. So I might pick up both just for that.
Yeah.
But... yeah,
as someone who was buying literally everything for warbands, like I think if I were to go back, I would only buy the dice, and well, I would wait to see which factions are good.
Yeah.
Then I would just use.
Well,
those.
I mean, you don't even need to use the dice; it's just kind of fun to have. I know the gubbins are cool.
Yeah, that's why I want to make sure that my dice look cool. Also, it helps to not mix your dice up with the other person unless you're in the mirror. Like I played against a lot of people where I was using the corn dice and they were using whatever else, so like our dice never got mixed up because I'm just like,
yeah,
these are the corn dice.
That's kind of nice about it too.
Yeah.
I think that some of the other gaming news that I kind of wanted to bring up today is that we are getting not one, not two, but three, not three, but 4 Space Marine Codexes all in a row.
Oh, the supplements. Well, they're
supplements.
They're like,
yeah,
half size. They're like, they're tiny. I saw them. They're, but we, yeah, get White Scars, Raven Guard, Salamanders,
and
Imperial
the
fists.
Yeah.
The Fistos.
The
Fistos. The small soldiers.
The small soldiers. Well, I can't remember the guy's name. It was
Tommy Lee Jones.
It was Tommy Lee Jones. And directed by Joe Dante. The Imperial Fist is directed by Joe Dante. But I think the important thing to pull out of that new release is the super emo Captain Strike.
Man, it's
or
so,
whatever his name
he
is.
He looks so ridiculous.
Captain Strike with the fucking... Peter Parker, Spider-Man 3 hair.
Absolutely.
Why? Why did they think that was a good idea? Did they do that just to be funny?
Yeah, I think they did.
Okay.
I think they were just like, I think that dude, like, who was sculpting was just like, I think he was giggling the whole time.
There's
he was
like,
doing
like
it.
We're going to make these guys super emo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they gave the other dude stupid hair too, the Imperial Fist guy.
Yeah, but that's kind of in line with.
Awful.
That's in line with how the Imperial Fist
looked.
He looks though.
So bad.
But it doesn't matter.
I don't know. You know my stance. I hate models without helmets. Like, there's only a few that work, and they're very few and far between.
I think
the big giant ultramarine dude looks okay with the fucking laurels. I prefer him with the helmet on, but
you mean Marnius Coolgar?
Is that Marnius Cool Guy? No, that's not Marnius Cool Guy.
It's Ghouliman.
Ghouliman, yeah, Reboot Ghouliman.
Reboot.
So Reboot-ay. Yeah, Reboot Ghouliman looks okay with his helmet off, because his head looks okay. Okay, not good.
I would rather put the helmet on, but yes.
Same.
Yeah.
But like the newer ones, they look... the Salamander's guy looks really cool.
Yeah, well, he's a big bald black guy.
Yeah, he looks cool.
Yeah.
Jagdi Khan will probably look cool.
Yeah.
Whatever White Scar's character they release will probably look cool.
I like how every White Scar figure that they've released for 30K and 40K have been like Terminators and like some non-White Scar units.
Yeah, well, they you can't play an all bike army anymore. Like they basically rewrote the White Scar canon where like they're just like, yeah, we don't really do the bikes anymore. What it is what we're still fast, but that means your guys are just in rhinos.
Yeah.
So like they kind of took a lot of their character away, which is a shame, but I mean, the White Scars are still pretty cool.
Yeah.
Although, like, I mean, like, they were... It's so weird, because, like, the last time I was playing 40K, like, they had fucking, like, Born in the Saddle and, like, all those rules about bikes, and, like, now they're just kind of like, yeah, they're white Space Marines. Like, that's
kind of how all the Space Marines are.
They're white Space Marines. Those are blue Space Marines.
They are the blue Space Marines. This is the white Space Marines. Yellow and the green and black. It's like, he's gonna play fucking Welcome to the Black Parade or whatever that song is.
When I was a young Marine, my father took me into the Imperial City see the Emperor.
Yeah, I a little bit after my time, so.
How could you not know the beginning of that song? I've never heard that entire song, but I still know the beginning of that song.
I never really, it's Fall Out Boy, right?
I don't fucking know.
I think it's
a meme. I don't know. I don't know who sang it because I only know it because of the memes.
They were like, emo music has completely surpassed me. I never had any sort of.
I thought you liked Weezer.
Weezer is not emo.
Whatever.
Not emo.
I don't fucking know, man. I don't know. I don't know what emo is.
Weezer, I could see some emo influence, but it's not. It's like proto emo, even though emo still existed
primo.
At the time.
It's primo.
Yeah, it's proto emo, but emo still existed at that time, so I guess not emo.
Look, man, I don't know.
It's not my thing. It never was my thing. But yes, the that was the other big release, was the fact that they had a bunch of Space Marines released.
Space Marines.
In Orktober of all months, we're not getting any orcs.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
How can you have an Orktober
no
go by
orcs
without orcs?
And no spooky boys that are being released. Well, actually, I guess the spooky boys are being released. The bone tyrannids. The bonitis.
Oh, that's right. Yes, bonitis. Bonitis is coming. Bonitis is coming to the Age of Sigmar. So yes, there's that.
Which, you know, after that whole big spoil, we haven't heard anything about them since the big spoil of them.
Yeah, I mean, they just showed, they showed all the models that are coming in October. They said that there are more models coming, but all of the models that are coming in October have been revealed.
Yeah, it's like dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
dun,
also those dun, 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 Tyranid dun, warrior dun, dudes dun, dun. Who look kind of silly with the forearms, yeah. They have an alternate version. They look way cooler. They have like giant tower shields and like big headdresses. They look badass.
But they still have Tyranid arms.
So I assume that those will be far inferior to the goofier looking mm-hmm. ones. Because that's just how it always goes.
That's how it always works.
It's always like, man, that fucking version looks so sweet. Yeah, it's way worse than the dumb looking one. God damn it.
I don't know, though. Most stuff in Age of Sigmar, even incomparable, like, it'll be slightly better to take the tower, the non-cool version, the dumb looking version.
That's true. There's a lot of, there isn't too much in Age of Sigmar where it's like, this option is terrible.
Yeah. It was, there's never like, it was always the case in like, 8th edition or something like that, where it'd be like you have these two things, and it's like you could take your Demigryph Knights that look amazing, but they're terrible, and you have to take your Reichsguard plastics that look awful.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing too with old fantasy. There was always a like de facto, like, this is the 100% superior option because everything was tied to points.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you took spears on your skeletons, you fool. You paid more points to make your skeletons worse. like that's the kind of thing that was like very common in old school fantasy. It was just like, it's like, yeah, like you took the option to make your models worse and you paid more points for
it. But to be fair, no one ever finished an old school fantasy army.
I've played in many tournaments that can tell you that can prove otherwise.
They had that army for years.
It's still a finished army.
Yeah. And it would always be like one or two guys in the back that were just unpainted. You just never noticed.
No way, man. Not the Chicagoland fantasy players. Everybody played fully. I don't think I played in a single fantasy tournament where every single person's models weren't painted. They were definitely had wild, wild levels of quality, but they were all painted.
Yeah.
Shout out to my most hated army, the Baseball Ogres.
The baseball. Oh, you hated the baseball.
I don't think I've hated an army more than the Baseball Ogres. That was like by far one of the most offensive armies I've ever seen. I was just like, that is fucking awful. Like, you should not be
and
allowed.
And those models are pretty offensive as
you
is.
You should not be allowed in the hobby. Like, you should be banned.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate the themey. Like, first of all, I hate themey joke armies. So like that's a huge knock against it immediately. That's a big one. The second, it's fucking baseball. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like,
well, they had clubs. They had things.
No,
that
he
like
replaced
bats.
Them with base. He gave them baseball bats.
I know they did.
Fucking atrocious. And then, oh my god, oh god, I don't even want. It was by far the most offensive, worst fucking gag army I've ever seen. And like, there's been a lot of shitty gag armies.
What
don't
about,
get me wrong.
What about the Hello Kitty Space Marines?
Those were at least painted really well. Like that.
Were they?
No. The pink Necrons were the ones that were painted real. Yes. with the flowers. Yes. Yeah, I don't remember the Hello Kitty Space Marines, but the pink Necrons for a gag army with the flowers and butterflies, that army was painted really well. I didn't like it, but it was painted very well.
I saw a guy who did a bunch of Lego Space Marines, and what his Lego Space Marines were, they were like the Space Marine bodies, like a normal, like they were the Primaris bodies,
mm-hmm.
but he took.
Did he put a Lego head on them?
He put the Lego head with the space helmet. That's so it's so like bad. The, you know, like the. The strap around.
That's infuriating.
You know. It looked really good, though. He did a really good job
at it. That's infuriating. Yeah, that kind of stuff puts me on so much tilt. I'm just like...
To me, it's just a waste of money.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's fucking... It's atrocious. I hate it. And like, and FYI, if you're thinking of doing a fucking Monty Python Bretonian army,
I know you've gone over it.
Don't.
Well, first of all, it's really expensive to get a Bretonian army in this day and age.
Whatever.
It's the Monty Python Bretonian army and the Alice in Wonderland Bretonian army are the two.
Is the Alice in Wonderland Bretonian? I think the Alice in Wonderland army was wood elves.
No, that was the Bretonians because they had the big shields, and they would paint the cards on the shields.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's themed armies, not the greatest thing in the world. I like them.
No. Not themed. I like themed armies.
Well, I mean, like,
but
joke themes.
Yes, joke themes. Themes are right out.
I would be okay with the Monty Python army. I know it's been done.
I saw one Bretonian army that was a Monty Python Bretonian army, but I didn't realize it was a Monty Python Bretonian army because it was just a really well-painted Bretonian army. But when you look at it, the knights all have the heraldry from Monty Python. And I was like, oh.
That works.
I kind of hate it, but it's okay.
It's fine. It's yeah. fine. Like, yeah, that's better than the Hello Kitty Space Marines or the Baseball Ogres.
Yes, the Bogers.
The Bogers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, those kind of armies are always just like, they just, they put me on, like, I see them and it just, the fucking Kill Bill thing happens. My vision tilts. Everything goes red. That's when I see. Whenever
wow.
I see
a lot of time talking about Warhammer Underworld. This is what it must be to actually do like substantive podcasts that actually have like.
I blame you.
I blame myself as well. But I mean, this is what it must be like if you actually put out a podcast where you talk about things that are relevant to gaming. Like,
this is gonna be our least popular episode.
Least popular episode of all time. Because we don't talk about any bullshit. We just talk about an actual game, and it's boring as fuck.
Yep.
I mean, I'm super excited about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be playing the fuck out of Season 3.
I'm actually going to play a game of Age of Sigmar today.
Oh, yeah, are you? Yeah. Going to be up at the Grognards?
Yep.
I'm going to be heading up there a little bit later.
Yeah. I haven't decided if I want to play a Demon Army yet, or if I'm going to just going to... I think I might just do like the list I haven't done yet, which is just... 100% Blight Kings. Just like, here's my army. It's Blight Kings. Nothing else.
There's 12 of them.
Yeah. 30 Blight Kings.
No, the Chicago Toy Soldier Show is today. It's like going to be a bunch of old men with plastic toy soldiers.
That sounds
so
terrible.
I know. I'm going to bring my son, though, because it's got toy tanks and everything, so he'll be excited.
Pico armor.
Not. No. These are like the big ones. These are like the big plastic ones. Like,
oh,
you'll
God.
See... you know those guys who do like the 54mm recreation of the Alamo,
mm-hmm.
like, and they have all the
so like the Welcome to Arwen guy.
Marwin. Like Marwin Call. Yeah, he's like no, he'd use G.I. Joes for those.
I mean, yeah, but anyway, they're big figures.
Yeah, no, these are the 54mm big plastic guys that are like you'd get as a kid and you'd be like, oh, these are kind of cool. I want to paint these. And then you like put it down and you're like, this is kind of fun. It's kind of fun. You know, but it's like the big bags that you get at the supermarket or whatever.
Yeah, the giant bag. This is like bag of soldiers.
Yeah, and you're like, it's like Battle of 1812. And you're like, all right, I'm going to play with these because I got nothing better to do.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. They don't shoot that fast, Joe. They only get like 3 shots per minute. Okay.
Napoleon's armed his troops with machine guns. Oh, no.
It's a historical what if scenario. But yeah, that's my plan. For
Napoleon armed his troops with machine guns, but his opponents are Jedi. I assume solid slug weapons would actually annihilate Jedi because you just like fire a spray of bullets and they'd try and deflect them with the fucking lightsaber and they would just get hit by molten metal.
Oh, ow, 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 yeah. Ow, 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 ow,
just like burning holes through their body.
It's just, no, it's more like a, like when you get splattered by bacon grease when you're cooking bacon. You're just
oh,
like,
you think you're like that?
Fuck, ow, 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 God damn it, ow, ow, ow. Good times.
All right. By all.
Go to Planet Arbitrary.
You did it again. It's been like more than a year.
It hasn't been that long. It's been a couple months.
I think it's been more than a year.
No.
I believe Plarbitrary has gone down. It's been a year, I think.
I think we officially went off in March. So it's only been like 6 months.
Hmm.
Go to the Planet Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. Someone was asking about should they go with the new Star Wars base set or the new Marvel base set, right? That's what they were asking.
I said neither.
Neither. I think if you're actually going to do it, as much as it pains me to say it, I still think that the Star Wars one is going to be a better supported game that's going to go longer, and not by much, but that's probably going to be your best bet. My problem with the two games is, and I've said this before, unless they're pre-painted plastics, there's no reason to do a media game like that.
I just say, hey, remember Imperial Assault? Nobody else does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's why would I want to paint something that looks exactly like it does on screen? Like, why? I don't care. Unless you're like, and with Space Marines, it's a little different because you're like, you know what? I really fucking love the Blood Ravens. I played this game. You know, not everybody does a Blood Raven army. I'm going to do Blood Ravens.
Right. Well, Space Marines are also designed to paint in however manner
however you want. But I'm saying is that like seeing something on screen and painting it like that way is fine. You don't have to paint your high elves to be like white, like super pale white guys. Like you could paint them black or gray or green. It doesn't matter because they're not real. Mm. Like, but if you're painting,
are you saying that stormtroopers are real?
But if you're painting the stormtroopers and you want to say like, you know what, I want to paint green stormtroopers, people in Star Wars would be like,
their pearls like explode off their neck.
Their monocles fall into their champagne glasses. I never seen a green stormtrooper.
Yeah, I think it's
they're fucking idiots.
I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah. I don't. Eh.
But but in that case, Marvel is worse because it's like you might be able to get away with painting like let's say all your stormtroopers red because you're like these are special red stormtroopers. This is the.
I think there actually are red stormtroopers.
Whatever,
so,
it doesn't fucking matter. These are the 240th Legion. They have red armor and they have the decals on their.
Where's Cal Katarn?
Yeah, their decals on their armor say, you know,
butt slam.
Butt slam forever. Butt slam is the name of the planet where they lost or whatever. It's like you can come up with some story for it.
I'm from Buenos Aires and I say kill them all.
I'm doing my part. Then you have the, but then you get to the Marvel stuff and you're like, I'm going to paint Captain America green.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't really do that. You can paint him black. He's got there's the super pay, our US agent.
Yes. You have to dig.
There are a few variants you can choose from, but there's
dig
not
deep
a lot.
Into that lore, Steve. Dig deep into that lore to find out the variant that you want to paint your Captain America in.
Yes. I mean, it's either blue or black, I think. I think it's only two.
US agent was actually a separate guy, but when Captain America ceased to be the American, you know, he was Nomad, I believe, and he had a worse costume, but it was a different costume altogether. He was never US agent. US agent was someone else. Nomad was the one that Captain America became when he was like, America should be in the Vietnam War.
No Nam.
Yeah.
So that it's difficult. So I say go with Legion because you can at least have a little more fun with it.
I say just go with Marvel and don't paint it.
Yeah.
That's if I was doing any of those games where it's just like things are supposed to look a certain way, I just wouldn't paint it. Be like, yeah, you know what? They're Stormtroopers. You know what they look like.
I would just go buy some HeroClix.
I mean, that would also be ideal.
Cut them off their base and stick them on a different base. Boom. Oh, done.
That would also be ideal.
Done. That's the game classy the way of doing things.
HeroClix?
HeroClix. Just cut them off the base.
Just grab a HeroClix.
It's like as much as we love Nolzer's minis, they're great, but you just grab some WizKids.
You gotta paint them.
Just get some Mage Knight.
Yeah, just grab Mage Knight stuff. It's done for you already.
It's painted shitty, but you know what? You're not that great of a painter anyway.
They actually have a ton of pre-painted.
Yeah, they got a bunch of pre-painted
still available because they're still doing new sets for the pre-painted, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I like Nolzer's for specific like.
I think if I was going to do a miniatures heavy RPG, I'm buying pre-painted.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I might. For my own, like if I was taking part in a campaign and it was a mini heavy one, I would buy my own figure and paint my own figure. But it's only one figure and maybe a familiar.
The only models
familiar,
you should,
a penis on legs.
The only models you should. Are you playing Fuck for Satan?
Yes.
The only models you should paint for a campaign are very specific centerpiece models because, as someone who painted a large chunk of models for a D&D game once, I can tell you it will not be appreciated and it won't matter. Because you're going to be like, these are the orcs I spent fucking 2 weeks painting. And they're just like, they're dead. Just like, fuck.
Like
they will be on the table. They will be on and off the table before you know it. Don't bother.
Yeah. I was talking with my brother about because he's playing D&D with his kids right now. And they're kind of going through it and playing Minds of Phandelver. And we were kind of just talking about different. He's very much a power gamer. He's that Pathfinder. Everything's a feat and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm very much a story guy. I'm like, how does this fit into the story? Like, yes, it's great that you could do this, but how are you going to make that? Are you going to do this amazing backflip over the goblin and stab him in the back? Like, describe it, not just say
dice.
But we came up with this idea of a barbarian who left his tribe to take improv classes inside the city. So he thinks that he puts all of his, he's constantly good trying to use improv skills to get through stuff. He doesn't want to fight anymore. That's his whole thing. He's like, he's giving up fighting so that he could be a great actor, one of the great actors in the city. But the thing is that his improv skills, everything rolls off intimidation. So it's like, he's like trying to like improv his way into a bar, but the guard at the bar is so intimidated by him because he's this massive barbarian that he just lets him in anyway. And he's always just like, see, I'm the greatest actor in the world. I can get us into anywhere.
So he's Drax.
He's basically Drax. Yes.
Nice.
In a lot of ways, but Drax is, wants to fight and kill people.
True.
But it's like Drax if Drax
was a pacifist.
Yes, just this terrifying human being. That's what we're talking about. We're like, this is a character that I must run at some point. The greatest actor, Thrud the actor. But that was a bit we were coming up with. You can go listen to our podcast on iTunes, like, comment, subscribe there. And call me a social justice warrior or a, what was the other one?
Virtue signaling
social justice warrior. That, you know, it's fine by me. I don't give two shits, but just, you got to give us 4 stars or 5 stars or whatever it is.
I want to be a social justice sorcerer.
I'm going to be a social justice thief.
I believe it's rogue.
Rogue. Sorry. Rogue. I didn't know what edition we were in.
Rogue-y.
You can also listen to our sister podcast. We have the Shin Play on Neo.
Shin Play on Pod Neo. That's it.
Shin Play on Pod Neo.
Yeah, I believe we'll be recording later this month.
A new episode was in.
We're playing Man of Medan. So
Man of Medan.
Yeah.
Actually, we're at a 4.0 out of 5 on our ratings. So
nice.
It's not terrible.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I like that we're divisive.
Strive for five.
We don't need 5, but what I'm saying is like, give us 5 because I like to inch up there. But I don't feel like being perfect is great. I'd like to alienate the fact. I've often said the problem with the hobby.
Well, 4s means you. I think a 4 these in this day and age. I think a 4-star rating means you mostly have 5s and 1s, which is good.
Yeah. Well, and that's all we have is pretty much 5s and 1s.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shin Play on Neo, and also we have Deconstructing Daycare. So if you got kids and you're forced to watch a Paw Patrol,
PJ Masks.
It's Paw Patrol for me. So.
I see. Yeah, not PJ Masks yet.
No. Our last review was from Makov. So you know that this guy's great because they think, isn't Makov like a video game character?
I have no idea.
This podcast is 60% virtue signaling, 20% bad pop culture references. To be fair, all of our pop culture references are good.
That's
pop
true.
Culture references.
That's true.
We don't. There's no such thing as bad pop culture.
Well,
references.
unless he thinks pop culture is bad.
Yes.
Because then I guess our references would all be bad because we reference pop culture.
I don't like new movies that come out. I only like classic movies like Bridge on the River Kwai, or
Apocalypse Now,
American Sniper,
Apocalypse Now, Easy Rider. Easy Rider sucks. That movie fucking blows.
It's got its.
I fucking hate that movie.
It's a decent movie.
It's not.
And 20% Clueless game discussion. Nice. Steve is okay, but Joe.
I did it.
but Joe's absolute garbage pile of human being.
I did it.
That's
Yay.
The second one that says that. That Steve
you
is
think
okay.
It's the same guy.
I don't think so. I think it's someone different.
Oh, all right. Oh, like you can only leave one review, right?
Yes. Because the other guy is Discordian Utopia, and he was from last year. This guy is called Makeup.
Oh, wow. This is a whole year.
Yeah. It's like a whole year difference. Yeah.
The Discordians. Shout outs to the Apple, yo.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I subscribe to the Church of the Subgenius these days.
No, the other one is the guy who says Steve is okay on occasion.
Yes.
On occasion.
On occasion.
Yes. So this one
I did it.
Yeah. So
this is a huge upgrade for me.
Yes.
You, it's a side move.
It's a lateral
move for Joe. Yeah. Upgrade for me.
Yeah. So as I see it, it's like the way I see it is because this guy starts off with virtue signaling, that automatically means he's a shithead that I wouldn't care about in real life. So, but he says you're okay. So that just makes you okay amongst the shitheads.
I've done it.
You've done it. You've achieved.
Yes.
And then also we have...
I don't know. I don't think I have very many controversial opinions. I just hate right-wingers. Well,
you don't have controversial opinions because I'm the one who has to drive this podcast, because otherwise it would be us sitting here going, okay.
I just hate right-wingers. That's all.
And we also have... but Ogthrock also wrote, for the latest in Focus Codex reviews, tournament coverage, and in-depth tactics to elevate your game to the top tables.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Now that's a fucking review.
5 stars.
Now that's a fucking review.
Ogthrock... You're good in my book.
Ogthrock.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Skander Fanny's book's coming out soon.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And I think I might steal some ideas from it.
E-zine.
Yeah.
Or no, it's going to be a real zine.
Not
an e-zine.
Yeah.
Although not that e-zines aren't real. It's going to be a physical zine. A Phi-zine.
A Vi-zine? For my eyes when they get too red?
Ben Stein.
Oh, yeah. You might think I'm smart, but I'm actually a fucking idiot.
Evolution isn't real.
That's Ben Stein.
But no, we can't do that. We're virtue signaling, Steve.
Thinking that Ben Stein's a fucking idiot?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I think that, or to not segue in too deep, I think that nuance is dead, and I believe definitions of words no longer matter. That's simple.
Nothing matters, Steve.
It's simple as
Nothing
that.
Nothing matters except season 3 of Underworlds, where I get to play wood elves. That's all that matters.
You just want
to
play Mohawk elves.
I want to play Mohawk wood elves. I want to feel like I did back in the early 90s when I was playing Warhammer for the first time, going, wow, these war dancers are the best sculpts ever. $8 for 2 models is a lot, though. Or 3 models
is
a lot,
$8
though.
For 20 models is a lot.
Well, the metal. They were metal, so I was getting a blister of them. So it was like $8 for three models.
I thought it was like... Models were fucking cheap as shit in the 90s. They were really cheap.
I blame NAFTA.
I don't even know what that is.
The North American Free Trade Agreement.
Oh, right. I thought we pulled out of that.
No. Well, we did now recently, but I'm saying in the 90s, that's what caused the spike in prices.
Yes. Not the fact that all metal went up everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So, Steve, until next time.
It could be bigger than Pokemon.
Going back to that one. Game classy.